You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined by Claire Lopez, my colleague these days at the Center for Security Policy, where she is our Senior Vice President for Research and Analysis, and a woman who knows a lot about the problems we're addressing today from an intelligence background of a very high caliber. She was a career operations officer in the clandestine services of the Central Intelligence Agency for about 20 years, serving overseas and here in the United States, and has used that experience to really establish herself as one of the go-to people in the United States on matters involving the jihadist threat generally, and specifically that posed by Iran. Claire Lopez, welcome back. It's always good to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank. I'm glad to be with you.
I wanted to visit with you about something that I talked a little bit about with Congressman Pete Hoekstra in the previous segment, namely the statement that was made by the president of Egypt, al-Sisi, in Al-Azhar University at the end of December. It has been widely described as a rather extraordinary statement, particularly in that setting. What are your views of what al-Sisi said and its implications?
Well, what the president of Egypt said to the combined clerical leadership of Al-Azhar, which was gathered to hear him at this momentous end-of-the-year speech, at what is the premier seat of Sunni Islamic learning for the last 1,000 years. What he said was basically that they, the leadership of Islamic thought and scholarship, are the ones responsible for the guidance, for the direction that Islam is taking. And he took them to task because of the impression and the image that the entire world is seeing, that Islam is something that is violent and oppressive. And certainly he must have been referring to what is going on with the Islamic State over in what used to be called Iraq or Syria.
This, of course, predated the attacks in Paris, but certainly underscored this general point. We're visiting with my colleague, the Senior Vice President for the Center for Security Policy's Research and Analysis Activities, Claire Lopez. And Claire, you were talking about al-Sisi confronting what some have described as kind of the Vatican of Sunni Islam and really calling them out in terms of the need to have them lead a revolution in our religion, as he put it. How is that being received, and to what extent do you think it will have an appreciable effect on the global jihad movement?
Well, I think the first thing to be said is that if you looked at the video that we have been made available to us of that speech, his audience is not terribly thrilled with him. They are sitting and listening politely. They clap politely. But this is not a message they want to hear. The point is that the president of Egypt, al-Sisi, has no standing in religious terms within Islam. He's got no authority to call for or to lead or to even urge any kind of changes in the doctrine or even the practice of Islam, and that's part of it. His speech is being received with much more, I think, applause in the West than in the world of Islam. And it has to be said that he is in a position right now where he's trying to consolidate his own power in Egypt, and certainly against the primary opponent of that consolidation, and that's the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. He also has to be mindful of his financial backers, which are in primarily the Gulf, meaning Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and United Arab Emirates, all of which have their own beefs with the Brotherhood.
But all of whom are also very much imbued with this Sharia program that he's really, at least seemingly, calling out. And Claire, I just want to talk about one piece of this that I'm particularly struck by. It's that the argument we have incessantly been hearing, mostly by people who know nothing about the subject, is that what we're confronting is a faction within the Muslim world, if they even dignify it as that, But people who are hijacking the faith, the true faith, the peaceful religion that is Islam, what the president of Egypt seems to me to have been doing when he went to Al-Azhar University and he confronted these clerics was actually saying, no, it is the authorities of Islam that are creating this violent jihadist program and not some extraneous or extremist forces. Is that a fair characterization of what we should take away from this at a minimum?
Well, to a certain extent. I mean, obviously the command to jihad, the supremacist command within Islam to conquer the world for Islam rests within the doctrine, the law, and the scriptures of Islam. Yes, the clerical leadership, and of which Al-Azhar is just one center of that, are responsible in a day-to-day way for, you know, carrying it out. But the fact is that Islam itself is a supremacist doctrine, and jihad is the vehicle for that.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair point. I'm not meaning to say that the authorities of Islam have somehow gone off on a tear, but the point is that it is inherent in this Sharia doctrine specifically, and that the authorities of Islam believe that is the true faith and are saying so, that is kind of the disconnect, it seems to me, that we've been hearing so much of late. The president of France, François Hollande, Obama, Holder, Howard Dean, among others, claiming that this has nothing to do with Islam, let alone, you know, the centerpiece of it. Claire, let me turn to a curious statement that was made subsequent to the one we've been discussing by the president of Egypt, by the leader of a designated terrorist organization called Hezbollah. As I say, you're one of the country's preeminent authorities on Iran and its various terrorist and other operations. There's no doubt in your mind, I know, that Hezbollah is a serious threat to the United States and the West more generally, imbued with the same Sharia doctrine. And yet we're hearing Hassan Nasrallah denouncing extremists for the attacks in Europe that are giving Islam a bad name. What's up with all that?
Right. Well, Hassan Nasrallah is the head of Iran's terror proxy. Hezbollah was, of course, one of the various leaderships, to include also Hamas and to include also the leadership of the Arab League, who denounced the attacks in Paris. Now, very carefully, they denounced the attacks at the offices of Charlie Hebdo, but they did not condemn the attacks on the Jewish kosher deli market, where four Jews were slaughtered that same day as well. And what Nasrallah said was that these are extremists who conducted this attack, and they are giving a bad name to Islam, a bad image. Very oddly, the very same phrase that President al-Sisi of Egypt uses, that these kinds of attacks give Islam a bad image, a bad name. It's nothing wrong with Islam, you know. It's the image that the Western world receives. But the other part of this with Hezbollah is of course, that Hezbollah currently is involved in a lengthy and a life-or-death struggle in Syria to prop up Iran's terror proxy regime in Damascus, the regime of Bashar al-Assad. And Hezbollah has been deeply committed there with thousands of troops for the last several years, losing many hundreds killed and injured, and spending a great deal of blood and treasure in the process.
So it's safe to say that Nasrallah has his own interests in confusing us further about the nature of the threat we're facing.
Exactly.
And is, in fact, a manifestation of it himself. Claire Lopez, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the great work you do at the Center, and we look forward to having further conversations with you often in 2015. Keep up that great work and come back to us again very soon. Next up, Yossi Hollander joins us. We'll talk about his new movie, Pump, coming to iTunes, and why you better be watching it. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.